Wow, what a reading. And now for my message.
Izzy hasn't got the PowerPoint.
Oh?
Yeah.
Izzy doesn't have your PowerPoint yet.
Why not? Sorry about that, but Isabel doesn't have my PowerPoint, so we have to wait. So please forgive them. Malachi didn't give it to her. So. What? Have you found it?
No, not yet.
Oh dear. All right. Okay, I'll give, while we're waiting, I'll give you the festival dates. We're looking at this stage, Yom Teruah being September the 19th, which makes Yom Kippur September the 27th and at sundown until September the 28th at sundown, which will bring the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot to October the 3rd and the seventh day on October the 9th, with Shemini Atzeret being on October the 10th. Also, the first day of Hanukkah, we're looking at that about the 10th of December this year, finishing on the 17th of December. We'll get these into the newsletter. Okay, let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you that you know all things and you work out all things. And I just pray that the message that I've prepared today will just come across so that people understand what I am trying to say. Abba, I know that you gave me these words, and I just pray that people will be receptive to them and that your word is pure in every way. And we give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, I've taken the reading, the script for what I want to speak on from Bamidbar chapter 12 and verse 3. And I've titled it Cure for Your Life. So by the end of it, we'll get the cure. Now, this man Moshe was very humble, more so than anyone on earth. Another word for humble is also interpreted in scripture as meekness. To be humble or meek does not mean that you are weak. It doesn't refer to weakness. Humility and meekness mean a person who is willing and willingly accepts and submits without resistance to the will and desires of someone else. The humble person is not self-willed and is not continually concerned with self. He's not concerned with his own ways, his own ideas, and his own wishes. But he or she is willing to put him or herself... Oops. What's happened? Just lost everything.
Has your computer just run out of battery?
It shouldn't have. It's a brand new computer. It's come back again. No idea what happened. Praise you, it's back. But he or she is willing to put himself or herself in a second place and submit himself to achieve what is good for others. Humility or humbleness is the opposite of self-will, self-interest, and self-assertiveness. This is a sign not of weakness of character, as some people think it is, but it's actually a sign of strength. It requires great self-control to submit to others. People who lose control of their emotions easily limit their potential for greatness. I know this on a personal level. As an autistic person, I have always had to work harder than most to reel in my emotions. I cannot answer questions about thoughts and feelings immediately, and I need to process the answers, which is very rare for the time needed to answer the question, or what is expected to answer the question. I have found in life that most people in authority have a set answer that they're looking for, and when it's not supplied to their expectations in their timing, then the answer is usually classed as being wrong, or I'm a lesser person for not meeting that expectation. We must choose our battles and let others go. This is a lesson learned, I have to admit, with maturity. But one thing I did learn over time was it didn't matter what other people thought about me. It was none of my business. The problem was I really wish someone had taught me that when I was much, much younger. It's between them and Yah what they think about me. We're all accountable and answerable to Yehovah. So I have learned to let go and let Yah take control. And that isn't easy. But it only came through the school of hard knocks. But it's easier now, of course. There are people listening today that Yah wants to promote you to a higher calling, but he can't because you are hysterical. And that hysteria is in your house like a curse. You get caught up in your own wants and others in your household being subservient to you, your wants and your needs. And we have to make sure that our wants are not our needs. Our needs are completely separate. Just because we don't want something doesn't mean we necessarily need it. It might have affected you financially, spiritually, and even physically. It was not because you're not qualified, but it's because there's too much hysteria. People cannot work with you. You're gifted, but they can't stand the volume that you have. Because of the condescending spirit you have, they cannot deal with you. You think you've done everything according to Yehovah's words. You paid your tithes, you gave your offerings, you paid for your chair or whatever was required, and you're still broke because the favor of Yehovah only comes when you have a humble and quiet spirit within you. In Tehillim or Psalms 46 verse 10a, it says, "Be still and know that I am Yehovah." Yehovah doesn't want us loud. He doesn't want us calling out. He doesn't want us demanding our own way. He wants us to be quiet. We all know that still waters run deep. We have all seen the riots taking place in the USA in the past week. Praise Yah, we are not there. But if you see two men in the street about to fight, and one is name calling and blabbing off at the mouth, and the other is calmly walking towards the other without a word, you better watch out, because it's the quiet ones are always the most dangerous. Because they have something inside of them that gives them a calmness, gives them a control in a crisis, in spite of chaos and unrest. So when you are a true woman or man of Yah, and crisis comes in your life, there is a peace that passes all understanding, and you know that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I've had that peace throughout this COVID pandemic, as our government continues to lock us up. Even though they can say we can holiday anywhere within our state, how can you travel when public amenity blocks are closed in camping or picnic areas? Hotels can have no more than 20 patrons in their restaurants at one time, and you still cannot meet in a congregational meeting. You know, this is a process, and this too will pass. And you know that Yehovah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, I will be there. If we go to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 43, verses 2 to 3a, it says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. The flame will not burn you. For I am Yehovah, your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. It doesn't matter what you go through. Yehovah will get you through. And it's quite amazing that I was reading from Daniel this week in chapter 7 about Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego and how they were thrown into the furnace at the highest of heats and they came out not even smelling of smoke, completely unscathed. That's what Yehovah can do for you as he did for them. What I'm going to do now is to give you an example of a very experienced pilot who landed his aircraft on the Hudson River when it's where it separates the states of New York and New Jersey. Having been there, this area was quite familiar to me when I watched it on TV when it happened, as well as seeing the movie about this amazing event some years later. It happened when US Airways Flight 1549 was on a domestic route from New York City LaGuardia Airport to Charlotte in North Carolina, with direct onward service to Seattle, Tacoma International Airport, and Washington. On January the 15th in 2009, the flight was cleared for takeoff on the runway 4 at 3:24:56 p.m. The crew made its first report about after being airborne at 3:25:51. As being at 700 feet or 210 meters and climbing, there were 150 passengers and 5 crew members, including the captain, first officer, and 3 flight attendants on board. The captain, you might remember, was Chesley or Sully Sullenberger. He was 57 years old. He was a former fighter pilot who'd been an airline pilot since leaving the United States Air Force in 1980. He is also a safety expert and a glider pilot. So this pilot had high credentials. First Officer Skiles was at the controls of the flight when it took off from the runway 4 and was the first to notice the formation of birds approaching the aircraft about 2 minutes after takeoff while passing through an altitude of about 3,200 feet on the initial climb out to a 15,000 feet climb. The aircraft collided with the birds at 3:27:01, which was less than 3 minutes into the flight. The windscreen quickly turned dark brown and several loud thuds were heard. Both engines ingested the birds and immediately the aircraft lost control and lost thrust completely. Captain Sullenberger took over the controls while Skiles began going through the 3-page emergency procedure checklist in an attempt to restart the engines. At 3:27:36, that's 35 seconds later, using the call sign Cactus, the flight radioed air traffic controllers at New York Terminal radar approach. Hit birds, we've lost thrust on both engines. We're turning back towards LaGuardia. The passengers and the cabin crew later reported hearing very loud bangs in both engines and seeing flaming exhaust, then silence from the engines and smelling the odour of unburned fuel in the cabin. Responding to the captain's report of a bird strike, the traffic controller who was working the departure position told LaGuardia Tower to hold all waiting departures on the ground so that flight 1549 was heading to return to LaGuardia and he could land on the southeast runway 13. But then Sullinger replied that he was unable to do that. Sullinger asked if he'd attempt an emergency landing in New Jersey, mentioning Teterboro Airport in Bergen County as a possibility. The air controllers quickly contacted Teterboro and gained permission for a landing on runway 1. However, Sullinger told controllers, "We can't do it, and we're gonna be in the Hudson," making it clear his intention was to bring the plane down on the Hudson River due to lack of altitude. Air traffic control at LaGuardia reported seeing the aircraft pass less than 900 feet or 270 metres above the George Washington Bridge. And 90 seconds before touchdown, the captain announced, "Brace for impact." The flight attendants instructed the passengers how to do so. The plane ended its 6 minutes flight at 3:31 p.m. with an unpowered ditching while heading south about 130 knots or 150 miles per hour in the middle of the North River near, you've got to listen to this carefully, he was near the Intrepid Sea Air Space Museum in Manhattan and Port Imperial in Weehawken, New Jersey. So one's on one side of the river, the other's on the other. Sullinger said in an interview on television that his training prompted him to choose a ditching location near operating boats so as to maximise the chance of rescue. The location was near three boat terminals, two used by ferry operator New York Waterway on either side of the Hudson River, and a third by a tour boat operator called Circle Line Sightseeing Cruises. After coming to a stop in the river, the plane began drifting southward with the current. National Transportation Safety Board member Kitty Higgins, the principal spokesperson for the on-scene investigation, said at a press conference the day after the incident that it has to go down as the most successful ditching in aviation history. These people knew what they were supposed to do, they did it, and as a result, nobody lost their life. Now, I said all that so I could ask you a question. If this man had the same attitude about life and towards crisis, do you think he would have been able to make the decision that he made in less than 6 minutes? I don't think so. He stayed calm. My computer's going crazy. He stayed calm and level-headed through the situation. The 6 minutes probably felt like 6 hours to him, but he persevered. Our text says that Moshe was the meekest man on earth. So, do you know what just happened before the verse I read? It was the example of Moshe. That way that plane came in, the way that he saved every person, took on the humility of Moshe. If we look at Numbers 12 and verse 3, it says, "Now this man Moshe was very humble, more so than anyone on earth." And in verses 6 and 7, It said, he said, listen to what I have to say. When there is a prophet among you, I, Yehovah, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. But it isn't that way with my servant Moshe. He is the only one who is faithful in my entire household. Moshe was not only humble, but he was the only faithful one in all of Yehovah's household. In Shemot Exodus chapter 40 and verse 16, it says, Moshe did this. He acted in accordance with everything Yehovah had ordered him to do. Moshe never questioned Yah. And in Messianic Jews chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, but what they are serving is only a copy and a shadow of the heavenly original. For when Moshe was about to erect the tent, Yehovah warned him, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern you were shown on the mountain. Moshe built all things according to the pattern that had been shown to him. He didn't deviate thinking his way was better. The reason I love reading from Tehillim is, or Psalms, is they're so filled with gems. So let's go to Psalms 37 and verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. I'm sure we all want that. It is not those puffed up in their own importance, but the humble that will have abundant peace. Have you noticed that the rich live in high-fenced places? They have high fences, gated and secured properties with cameras everywhere. They are more concerned with who might steal from them than in trusting Yah and living in an abundant peace. One of the great examples of a person who loses his meekness would have to be King Shaul. During his reign, Shaul had his greatest successes when he obeyed Yehovah. His greatest failures resulted from acting upon his own will. Shaul had all the raw materials to be a good leader. He was chosen of Yehovah to be king, but this did not mean he was capable of being king on his own. From Shaul we learn that while our strengths and abilities make us useful, my computer's just closed itself down. Here it is back again. I don't know what's happening.
It might be just timing out on the screen because it's not being used.
No, I'm touching it. Okay. It's gone again. So Shaul has said he was chosen of Yah to be king, but this does not mean he was capable of being king on his own. From Shaul we learn that while our strengths and abilities make us useful, it is our meekness that makes us usable. He was only... He's trying to tell me there's a restart needed, but I'm not going to do it. From Shaul, he was only in the second year of being king that Shaul lost his meekness. So he was king for not even 2 years before he thought he was better than Yah. While in Gilgal, King Shaul was set to go battle against the Philistines, and Shaul's mentor, the prophet Shamuel, told him to wait 7 days and will come and offer sacrifices to Yehovah before you go into battle. And that's in Shamuel Aleph, 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. It says he waited 7 days as Shamuel had instructed, but Shmuel didn't come to Gilgal, so the army began to drift away. Shaul said, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. That wasn't his place to do. Saul waited 7 days, but when Shemuel did not show up, he took matters into his own hands and went against the word of Jehovah. Under pressure, he became his own man. In a crisis, he took it upon himself. Sacrificing to Yah was a good thing, but he did it in the wrong way. Our true spiritual character is revealed under pressure. You've seen it with me today. The methods we use to accomplish our goals are as important as the attainment of those goals. In thinking that rest for your soul, that is your mind, your will and emotions, means you are in complete peace. Yeshua is our example. Our aim is to do as Yeshua did on this earth. He did not always, excuse me, it is not always achievable because of our humanity, but that does not negate the fact that it should not be our goal. In Philippians 2 verses 8 and 9, it says, Yeshua humbled himself still more by becoming obedient even to death. Death on a stake as a criminal. Therefore, Jehovah raised him up to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. And in Messianic Jews, chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a Kohen Gadol unable to empathize with our weaknesses, since in every aspect he was tempted just as we are, the only difference being that he did not sin. And in the next slide, in Kepha Aleph, it says in 1 Peter 2:21 to 22, indeed, this is what you were called to, because the Messiah too suffered on your behalf, leaving an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his lips. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but you as a man of Jehovah, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, holiness, faithfulness, love, steadfastness and gentleness. And again in Kepha Aleph 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, rather let it be the inner character of your heart with the imperishable quality of gentle and quiet spirit. In Jehovah's sight, this is of great value. And the next slide in Tehillim, Psalms 22:26. Excuse me. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Jehovah will praise him. Your hearts will enjoy life forever. It is humility or meekness that brings contentment. In the next slide in Philippians 4:10 to 13, it says, in union with the Lord, I greatly rejoice that now, after this long time, you have let your concern for me express itself again. Of course, you were concerned for me all along, but you had no opportunity to express it. Now that I am saying this to call attention to any need of mine, not that I am saying this to call any attention to any need of mine, since as far as I'm concerned, I have learned to be content regardless of circumstances. I know what it is to want. I know what it is to have more than enough. In everything and in every way, I have learned the secret of being full and being hungry, of having abundance and being in need. I can do all things through him, Jehovah, who gives me power. And further down in verses 19 and 20, Shaul says, moreover, my Elohim will fill every need of yours according to his glorious wealth in union with the Messiah Yeshua. And to Jehovah our Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Can we all say amen to that one? Both Moshe and Yeshua are expressly noted for their meekness and their humility. And both were thoroughly obedient to Jehovah. There are many people of whom I've come in contact with over the years that have told me that I should write a book about all my experiences. There have been many experiences, both good and bad. But unless Yah tells me to write them down to share with others, I can assure you that I will not do it. There is no way that I want my experiences put on paper. I am happy to share them with you, with the people I come in contact with, but it is not something I want to put out there in cyberspace or cyberland, so to speak, that for other people to read. The same applies to my messages going onto YouTube. And I'm probably, if I had gone on YouTube, would be shadow banned by now. But it's not a platform I would feel comfortable being part of. I am happy that what I do in Yehovah's domain, I do not need recognition in this world. It is Yah that gives me any recognition. All I want at the end of my life is for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. The cure for our life is not having notoriety in any form. Our cure for the woes of our lives is humility. And the contentment we have in serving Yah and his messianic community. Also knowing that it is Yehovah who fulfills all of our needs. It is to him and only him who should have the glory. And I give him glory for every message that he ever gives me to share with you. So it's now time to go back, and we won't have our remembrance service, and I'm not too sure that we would have them when we went back anyway, with all the social distancing and passing around things, or even going out to take our own with other people's hands being on the bread beforehand. I don't think it's a possibility at this stage. So our services will end with the message and Malachi coming to say the Aharonic blessing over everyone that is listening in.